You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28, and the King James says, I want to read it out, the Living Bible, just for cultural understanding. Verse 28 says, don't you yet understand? Don't you know by now that the everlasting God, the creator of the furthest parts of the earth, never grows faint or weary? No one can fathom the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the tired and the worn out. He gives strength to the weak. Even the youths shall be exhausted, and the young men will all give up. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. In our final installment on the power of waiting, I want to bring some light to your mind to understand that the purpose of God takes time. Now, there are significant challenges for us as believers. Challenge number one is how to pray. Our first problem is how to pray. We don't know how to pray. Second problem we have is how to live holy. In our effort to please God, we put unnecessary restraints upon our lives that have nothing to do with holiness. Many believers struggle with certain parts of their lives that really are not important. We have to understand the difference between a bad habit and something that's not holy. So we struggle with holiness, and that's what makes Christianity so laborious. It's such a task because we're struggling with it. The third problem that we have is church. We don't understand the concept of church. We don't understand why God made it. We don't understand why he wants us to be a participant and not a spectator. So we come and sit in the building and we believe that we are fulfilling the purpose, but we really are not. We are just carrying out a function. So we have to understand these basic tenets of discipleship. And lastly, for our list, we need to learn how to wait. What I've discovered in my research for this particular series of messages is that patience is extremely cultural and generational. As you examine those who came through the Great Depression and the Second World War, you find that their level of patience is greater than, say, the baby buster, those born between 66 and 76, 78, somewhere in that area, and especially this newer generation, there is a tremendous lack of patience. Throughout the Bible, we are admonished to wait on the Lord. But what does that mean? David writes it sometimes in the Psalm Jesus hints to it in many of his teachings. The apostle who wrote to the letter to the Hebrews directly tells us that we have need of patience. And now we are discovering, because all knowledge is layered like a lasagna, you don't know everything. But each exposure causes you to learn something else, so knowledge is layered. Now we are finding that from a physiological position, your body and your brain working in sync causes you to understand things at a later point in your life. And so you begin to understand that you made bad decisions when you were too young, but you didn't want to wait because you felt you would run out of time. There are many statistics throughout the world in various areas, and one of the most compelling statistics is that in America, 51% of marriages end in divorce within the first 5 years. Now, this particular statistic gives credence to the idea that these individuals married before they were ready, which leads to the number one cause of failure in marriage, which is unrealistic expectations. And unrealistic expectation comes from an immature brain. You want what you can't have. And when someone cannot give you what you can't have, you continue to look for somebody who will give you something at least close to what you want. That means you shift and sift through relationships until you find the right one. That's why there are so many religions in the world, because people are looking for God to be a certain way. But unfortunately, and fortunately, he doesn't change. He's the same God from Genesis 1 all the way through to Revelation. He's the same God. And so if anybody has to change, it's us. Because he won't. And so my passion over the past few weeks has been in trying to convey to you the necessity of waiting. Hence, I've titled this series, The Power of Waiting. Because we are not prone to wait. We don't like it. So we've created certain tools to help us get past waiting. Microwaves. You know, now there was nothing like the joy of going to the market and buying a pound of bacon and bringing it home and putting it in a cast iron pan and smelling, you know, the aroma of the bacon as it cooks. Now, I understand the health concept, and believe me, I'm not advocating you clogging your arteries. I'm simply walking down memory lane. And there's nothing like the smell of bacon, the fat, and the curative process mixed with the heat causes a certain smell to come out. Bacon doesn't smell like that when it's on the pig, or else it just doesn't. Pigs stink, but it smells because of the heat. Heat brings out that good smell. See, heat brings out the flavor of the tea bag, and heat brings out the good smell of the bacon. So God keeps you in a heated situation to bring out your flavor and to bring out a good smell out of you. Now, those of you that cannot wait for crispy bacon, you eat what's called translucent bacon. That's the bacon that, you know, you can see through it. You know, it's not quite crisp. It doesn't snap. You know, if you need a fork to eat your bacon, it's not black bacon. Okay? So the problem is they want it quick. They don't want to wait till it gets crispy. So they eat it, we call it half done. And the problem is that half done pork has trichinosis, where there's this worm that lodges in the muscle of the pig. And when you eat the half done or the less than full done bacon or sausage or anything from that animal, those trichini go down into your digestive system and they lodge in your intestines and they lay eggs. And then the eggs hatch and then you get worms. And all that, all you had to do was just wait a few more minutes and let your bacon get crispy. Are you with me? Because the more it cooks, the more it kills the trichini. Are you hearing me? So waiting even kills your worms. You understand? That's why God, oh, Lord, I let me get back to my sermon. I didn't preach myself happy already. And so the Bible tells us that they that wait upon the Lord, notice the difference. They that wait upon the Lord get stronger. Now, remember the rule of proper exegesis. There is a direct application from the word, and then there is an implied truth. Now, this is where we get into danger, but it's still relevant. The implied truth comes when you just simply use proper tools of deduction to come up with a certain comment about the passage. The Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord get stronger. So then the implication would be those who are without patience grow weaker. You see what I'm saying? And so the longer you wait on God, you get stronger. Now here's the problem. He gives you a subject. He says that if you wait on the Lord, you get stronger. But there's no object. He doesn't say what gets stronger. He says they that wait get stronger. But we're lacking an object. What gets stronger? You physically might not get stronger, but I believe what the scripture is hinting to is that our faith gets stronger. As we wait on the Lord, you begin to see it's not as bad as you thought. I had an occasion a week or so ago where I had all of these duties that I had to perform. I had to finish tiling the bathroom down at 2901. I had to finish doing something else. I had to run on an errand. I had all these things confronting me, and they oppressed me so that I found that I couldn't sleep the night before, and I'm tossing and turning and tossing and turning, and so I get up, and I decide I'm just going to worry about it. And I'm going to start, no, because worrying is a decision. There's no devil of worrying. It's you deciding that you're going to take it out of the hands of God. So I started laying out a plan. And every time I laid out the plan, I kept running into the roadblock of the lack of time. I kept saying, I got to go here. I got to go there. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to get down there and finish the tile. I got to do this. I got to do that. I said, I don't have any help. I got to do this. I got to do that. And so I just positioned myself. I got up extra early and got myself ready, came down. And then by about 11 o'clock, everything had been taken care of. And I said to God, I worried for nothing. And then I often talk to God differently than you because I'm not as saved as you are. And so I said to God, I said, you knew this all the time, but you chose not to tell me. You let me worry. And so he and I had, you know, we had a little moment, you know, and I stopped speaking to him for about 10 seconds. And then, you know, I came back and I said, see how good you are. You let me realize that all of my mental exhaustion was for nothing. And if I had simply did what Paul said in Philippians 4 and thanked him for the ability that he gave, I would have seen he had it all under control. So how many of you seated in this place of worship this morning often find yourself just pushing against the will of God and fighting and trying to run your lives when he says, saying, wait on me. Now, I want to share with you something here about this act of patience, because when we wait, you must understand that this is a participatory action. Waiting is not sitting there just letting things happen. You participate. And I'll show you what that means as we continue in the passage. If you look in Romans chapter 5, I want to show you something here that is extremely important for the road that we are about to travel.
It's important for you to understand that patience is not your primary attribute. We are impatient at best and rebellious at worst. We believe that when God calls us, that calling means do it now. But we find from Scripture that God's call is simply a wake up to prepare. How are you going to teach people principles from the Word of God that are not working for you? Now, you may not have much motivation to put these principles to work in your life until you're aware that God has a greater calling for you. God calls Abraham to be the father of a great nation with eternal consequences. Through the seed of Abraham, our Jesus would come. But Abraham was not ready to father the child that would start the process. But God had called him to preparation. Now, what was the key? The key to Abraham's call was patience. If you look throughout the entire conversation between God and Abraham over the 25-year period, you will find that God consistently hints at events that will happen later, which necessitates patience. Even when Abraham finally musters up the courage to say, "How will I know this is going to be? I really don't know you. I come from a land of idol worshipers. You call me. I'm following you. I'm uncertain as to who you are. So how will I know?" God says, "Your seed are going to be strangers in a strange land for 400 years. What kind of promise is that? And then to add an extra degree of mystery, he says, "But you're going to be dead." The King James says, "You're going to be with your fathers. You're going to be dead." You ever have God make you a promise and tell you you're going to be dead when it comes to pass? You know what you're going to say? You're going to say, "Then why give me the promise? What's the point? If I'm going to be dead, what good is it in telling me that Maserati you wanted or that new house you wanted, I'm going to give it to your grandchildren. Let them buy their own." But what is he doing? Teaching us how to wait on him. And we don't know how, because no one sits us down to wait. No one teaches us to wait. Children don't like waiting. No human being likes to wait. And if anybody tells you they do, they're lying. Nobody likes to wait. We're forced to wait. We learn to wait. But nobody says, "Well, let's just wait. It's fun to wait." Everyone looks for a quicker way to resolve their issues. You don't realize that you are emotionally and psychologically ready for marriage when you're 40. That's when you are perfect for marriage. But you ain't waiting. You'll think life has passed you by because God plays a trick on us. He makes you emotionally and psychologically ready when you're 40, but physically you're ready at 14. And then he tells you not to have them until you get married, but you're not ready to get married till you're 40. But by then, you don't have the emotions to deal with crying babies and diapers. But when you're 20, you have the strength to deal with it, but you don't have the mindset to deal with it. That's why you dump them off on grandparents. Why? Because they're older. Who wants to wait? The Apostle Paul tells us here in Romans chapter 5, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now notice what he says. We have access, and then we rejoice in the hope of that glory of God. And then he goes on and says, and not only do we glory in the hope of God, But we also glory in tribulations. Now, who among us glories in tribulation? Ooh, I'm going through. Hallelujah. This is good. You know, most people, when they give a testimony, it's usually after they come out of the tribulation. No one stands up and says, saints of God, I got a testimony. I'm going through the worst time of my life. I just lost my job. They're turning off my electric, my gas, and my telephone. And you know what? No, the people that love me no longer walk with me. They can't stand me anymore. And the doctor just told me I had the flu, and it looks like it's not going to get any better. So you won't see me in church for the next couple of weeks. So I just want to give God thanks and then go sit down. Because we're waiting for the deliverance. We want to hear, but God is still meeting my needs. Why? Because we don't understand the process of tribulation. Paul understood it, and that's why he says, we glory in our tribulations. Those of you that are going through this morning something, I don't care what it is, if you're going through it, Paul says you should glory in it. One of the most difficult lessons we will learn is how to glory in a negative situation. How to give God praise while we're going through the negative situation. When you understand our God, and we never really will, but we can start understanding some of his ways, when we see that God constantly lets trials come to us, he's sending us a definitive message. He's saying, number one, you have something that I want. Number two, you have something that the world needs. And number three, you have something that the devil hates. And because the devil hates what's in you, he goes to God to get permission. But because God knows what's in you, he tells the devil he can do it. So he knows when you come out of it, he can put you out in the world and don't have to worry about losing you. Because the world is looking for authenticity. They're not looking for people to just quote scripture. They're looking for people to be scripture. They're looking for light. They're not looking for little dim lights. They're looking for LED bright. They're looking for people who can say, I went through this. God brought me out. I'm still saved. Or I'm going through it. God hasn't shown up yet, but I'm still saved. I went through it. I didn't do as good as I wanted, but I'm still saved. Because you send the message that while you are going through something, God is doing something in you.
We pray that you were blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. To order today's message, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title, The Power of Waiting, or the program number 125188. If you'd like to view the Climbing Higher daily telecast, tune in to WBPH TV on Comcast Cable, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Please check your local cable listings for the channel number in your region. To stream Bethel Sunday services live, visit BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app on iTunes or Google Play. We stream live on Sundays beginning at 8:15 a.m. and 12 p.m. You're also invited to join us in person by attending any of our Sunday services taking place at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m. at our main sanctuary located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, PA. For more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.
The Sisters Pursuing Adonai Women's Ministry of Bethel Deliverance International Church invites all women to join them for a Journey with the King Women's Service on Friday, February 15th at 7 o'clock p.m. Come out for an intimate time of worship and hear an impactful message from Bethel's women's pastor, Crystal Mance. Don't miss this special gathering that is designed to equip and prepare you for your life's journey with the King. It's taking place Friday, February 15th at 7 o'clock p.m. at Bethel Deliverance International Church, located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Call 215-885-2585 for more information or visit betheldeliverance.org.